The book of John, chapter number 1.
Number 35. If you would stand with me. Again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with them that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. We'll stop reading right there. Interested this morning on this thought. Andrew. Lord, we pray, you'd help us to preach with the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you that you've allowed us to be saved. You've allowed us to meet together this morning to worship you. And I appreciate each and every person that's present. But most of all, we thank you for the presence of Jesus. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and he's the one that sticketh closer than a brother. Lord, I pray then that you'd be the one we lean upon. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all you do. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Or tonight. This morning. That may be a precursor for how long I'm going to preach. We set out this morning to try to prove that the 12 apostles, they're just common, everyday, ordinary men. And we run across this one named Andrew. He's Simon Peter's brother, and he's Simon Peter's fishing partner. And they're also partners with two other men, their brothers, named James and John. Andrew's name means manly. And it seems, if you look through the Scripture, that he receives scant attention as he's only mentioned in 12 verses in the entire New Testament. Now, Andrew the Apostle did not write books of the Bible like Matthew, John, or Peter. We do not read any sermons where he preached. But he is not the faceless or the featureless disciple of little or no importance that a lot of people try to make him out to be. I believe that Andrew was a servant called by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this morning I think we ought to recognize his calling, his character, and his commitment, and try to emulate some of these characteristics. First of all, in these verses, we see his calling and proclamation. Andrew was a God-fearing Jew. He was a disciple of John the Baptist. You see that in verses 35 and 36. He followed John the Baptist and had heard John the Baptist say before, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He would have been there, Andrew would have, when Jesus was baptized of John the Baptist. Yet for some time, Andrew still followed John until John made a second declaration, which is found in verse 36. He's looking at Jesus, casting his eyes upon him, and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." It was as if John the Baptist was telling his two disciples that are following John the Baptist, Andrew and John the disciple, he's telling them to look to the Lamb of God. And immediately the Bible tells us that these two disciples, which heard John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God," they turned and began to follow Jesus. Immediately and obediently, they followed the Lord. And the Lord turned around, seeing them follow, and said, "What seek ye?" In other words, why do you follow me? Some people would follow Jesus to think that he's going to be a new king to reign and rule over Rome with an iron fist and come in military power. And that's what these fellows could have said. That's not what they did say. They said, Rabbi, which is Master, where dwellest thou? And they're seeking a private interview with the Lord. And they're wanting deeper insight about Jesus. They want a further intimate knowledge about Jesus. They said, we want to see where dwellest thou. Look what Jesus said to them when they've come to follow Jesus. And they say, Lord, we want to be with you, Master, and see where you dwell. You know what he said? He said, come and see. Him that cometh to the Lord will in no wise cast them out. And he says, I want you to come and see. And the Scripture says they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Well, immediately, I believe, Andrew and John, he's unnamed here, the beloved disciple, Andrew and John are saved presently, instantaneously, and they go to spend time with Jesus. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, y'all. One of these days you and I are going to see, if you're saved, where Jesus dwells. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah to God. So they went and spent the day with Jesus. Aren't you glad that we have a welcoming Savior, one who invites us to come and see? And I believe for Andrew, his life really began right here when he met Jesus. That's when my life really began. I mean, I was born in 1966, and that looks like when life began, but I was born again in 1978, and my life began when I met Jesus Christ. And so did yours, amen. And we see his calling here. Immediately, Andrew is burdened for his brother. The Bible says that he first findeth his own brother Simon, and he gives a proclamation to him. He says to Simon Peter, we have found the Messiah. And you know what he did? He got Simon Peter, and he brought him to Jesus. Now, that's a great calling and a great proclamation to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the Most High God. Here is Andrew's calling. Now we know, I believe right here Andrew is called into part-time ministry. For in Matthew 4, the Bible says Peter and Andrew were back on the boat fishing. Even though they've already met the Lord, they're back fishing again. And as they cast the net out, the Lord said to them, follow me. I didn't see when they drew the net back in. They left it out in the water, and they went and followed Jesus. He said, from now on, I'm going to teach you to be fishers of men. And then they were called into full-time ministry. So we've seen his calling and his proclamation. Second of all, I want you to see his character and his position. Now I want you to hear this. There are three disciples of the 12. Peter, James, and John. According to the book of Mark, these three are called the sons of thunder. But Andrew is not part of that innermost group. His brother is, but he seems to be left out. But he ain't jealous. He looks and says, I know there wouldn't even be a Simon Peter had I not went and got him and brought him to Jesus. According to Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 3, Luke chapter 6, and Acts chapter 1, four times the disciples' names appear in the Holy Scripture. All four times, Peter's name is first. All four times. Andrew's is never up there first. But again, I remind you that it was Andrew that found Simon Peter. And there wouldn't be a Simon Peter had there not been Andrew going out to bring him in. So in this character and position of Andrew, we see that Andrew is the top disciple that's always behind the scenes serving in humility. You know, he's the type of person that thinks more about work than who's in charge. He thinks more about the cause than he does about his own personal cares. He wants to make sure that Jesus is lifted up. That's the same thing John the Baptist had taught him. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. You know, I appreciate this church. Got some great talented pianists and organists, guitarists. We got some wonderful folks who play mandolins and banjos, and that's a blessing. But there's one instrument that's left out. One instrument that I think that this church would do well to start bringing in to play. Second fiddle. You see, it seems we live in a society where if I ain't first string in the orchestra, then I ain't playing. Andrew was willing to play second fiddle. He was willing to boost up his brother. Let him be one of the sons of thunder. I've got a calling too. I'm going to go out and bring them to Jesus. I brought Simon Peter. I'm going to find a few more, amen. Maybe I can get under them and scotch them up where that they can be something for the glory of God. You see, Andrew is the type of person who is a picture of those who labor in quiet places without recognition. And they're a ministry of service, a ministry of support, and a ministry of strength. His was the backbone of the ministry. May I remind you, there are some that say, I have a holy backbone, and you won't bend on nothing. But I do want to remind you of something, that the backbone is made out of joints. And there's a few times where it may have to wiggle just a little bit. And I'm going to tell you something, amen. Andrew knew how to adapt and win souls for Jesus Christ. He's not just a saved person, he's a serving person. I looked this scripture up this morning, Ephesians 6:6, during the superintendent's hour. And the Bible says that we don't serve with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now I'm going to ask you something, brother. Do you see my heart inside my chest? No. It's in there hidden away by flesh and by ribs and organs and things that are around it. But you can not necessarily look at my physical heart, but you ought to see my heart in the actions that I commit and the things that I do. We see Andrew chapter 6. Please turn there. We see this sought and brought and taught again. Verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? You know the rest of the story. That Jesus took those 5 loaves and 2 fishes of that little boy, and he blessed it, and he gave to his disciples to go out. And the Bible says there was enough food for 5,000 men, not to mention women and children, to be fed, and they were completely filled, and they took up 12 baskets of the fragments that were left over. When Jesus saw this great multitude, thousands of people, he said to Philip, what are we going to do to feed them? Not that Jesus didn't know. He already had a plan. But he said to Philip, what are we going to do to feed them? Philip said, I don't know. Let's count the bag. We got 200 pennyworth in here. Well, that ain't enough to buy food for this whole multitude. Can't see we're ever talked to Simon Peter. To Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Never talked to him. But Andrew, when he heard, what are we going to do? He went out and started looking. He sought someone in the crowd. Anybody got something? Anybody got something we might use? You got food? You got anything? Would you bring anything? You got something? Come with me.
I know right now you're thinking, thank God he didn't get me.
Yeah.
And he says, Lord, there's a lad here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. He sought someone and he brought someone to Jesus. But then he asked a question of doubt that we all ask. But what are they among so many?
You stay with me, brother.
Now you hear me. Jesus is trying to teach these disciples that you already have in you what it takes to feed the multitude. It's not about your loaves and fishes and the things that are external. Not about how much money you got in the bank. Stay with me. Not about how much money you got in the bank. Not about how much knowledge you have, how long you've been to school, how much training, discipleship classes you've taken. That's not what matters. The Lord's trying to say, if you'd give what little you have to me from your heart, I'll bless that abundantly and I will feed a multitude. And so he sought that boy. He found him and brought that boy. And then he went out and began to sought, brought, and taught. He taught himself and that entire congregation that with Jesus, little is much when God is in it. And you may look at me this morning and say, how's one preacher going to feed all of us this morning? I can't do it. But I know one that can, amen. And he'll be enough, amen, to fill and satisfy your soul and there be leftovers. I want to report to you, Bethel Baptist Church, that Jesus is still more than enough of what we need. Amen? Thank you. All right. He sought and brought and taught Simon Peter. He sought and brought and taught that little lad and that whole host of company. John chapter 12. Preacher, we get your drift. No, you don't. No, you don't. John chapter 12. Verse number 20. And there were certain Greeks, these are Gentiles, outcasts, strangers, to the covenant of promise, without hope and without God in this world. They're not Jews. There were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida, of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. Listen, here's old Andrew again. What? You know this, I'm going to have to go back. It just runs all through me. Thank God for somebody who's still willing to work with children too.
Amen.
I might have got Brother Jason up here and he may not be a little child. But I believe that little fellow that Andrew brought was probably some youngster. I appreciate you Sunday school teachers. And I'll get back here and do a labor of love with these young people, amen. They may misbehave and cut up and not be the best like the other adults are. But I'm going to tell you what, your job will be worth it one day. You get after these young ones and you tell them and teach them and train them about Jesus. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Amen. Thank God for a church that still lets the young people sing and still interested in the children. Amen. They may be the key to the service. Amen. No telling what the Lord did in this lad's life later on. Amen. Glory to God. Well, that just come out like a belch. But here's these Gentiles. They don't have no claim, no way to get to him. So they see Philip the disciple. Philip has a Gentile type name. Says, sirs, we would see Jesus. Philip said, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. Andrew's a soul winner. Every time I see him, he's bringing somebody to the Lord. He says, Andrew, we got a problem. These Gentile boys over here is wanting to see Jesus. He said, no problem. Let's go see the Lord on their behalf. They said, he begins to answer them as soon as they walk up to Jesus. And Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He's telling them he's going to die. And he's going to be buried. And you know what happens when you plant green bean seed? You cover it up, sprouts back, don't it? You take corn seed, put it in the ground, What happens just in a little while? Sprouts up, amen. Jesus said, you put me in the ground, I'm coming back. You put me in the ground, I'm coming back with a glorified body. And he said, and if I die, what? If it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Not just for the Jews, but for all who will partake to come and dine. He said, I'm telling you what, I'm going to die not just for the Jews, but I'm dying for the Gentiles too, Andrew. You've been bringing me this boy, you've been bringing me Simon Peter, now you're bringing me the Gentiles. I want you to know I'm going to die for the whole world. Hallelujah. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. He says, Andrew, you've done a great thing. You've sought them. You've brought them. You go and teach them. Then I'm going to die for the sins of the world. And after they buried me, you teach them. And I'm going to rise again on the first day of the week. And after I'm risen and I ascend back to my Father, you teach them that anyone that will lift me up, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He says, Andrew, you just keep bringing them to me. You just keep lifting me up and you see what I do. Don't you like this young man's compassion? Don't you like the portrait that John brings of him? He's always concerned about bringing someone to Jesus. Are you concerned for your family? Are you concerned for the children in the Awana program, many of which are unchurched at all? Are you concerned at all for others in our community that may be strangers to you? They could be drug dealers. They could be harlots. They could be winos. Amen. But Jesus said, go ye out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Glory, hallelujah. Jesus saved. Jesus saved. Jesus saved. If we'd go out and lift up Jesus, He said, I'll draw all men unto me. Glory, hallelujah, for His compassion and His portrait. What He said about this church and this community. Can it be said we have a burden to seek and to bring and to teach folks about Jesus Christ? We need some Andrews among us. We'll close right here. Fourthly, we see His commitment and privilege in Acts chapter number 1. He is in the upper room. The Lord has told them the way for the Holy Spirit to fall in power. You can see in verse 13, when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode both Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and His brethren. Hey, they were up there praying for the promise of the Holy Ghost to come because they believed Jesus' words. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell. And the Bible says it filled all them with the Holy Ghost. Andrew got filled with the Holy Ghost. What did he do? Well, the New Testament is completely silent about Andrew from here. Well, preacher, if it's silent, we don't know anything else about him. Well, it don't say anything about me either, but it makes us some promises. I believe Andrew went out and proclaimed these promises. Tradition would teach you that Andrew went out and began to preach in the land of Asia. And he was preaching in a province where there was a governor, and his wife heard Andrew preaching about Jesus. He's probably preaching, if we'll lift up Jesus, He'll draw all men. And the governor's wife got saved. It upset the governor. And he told her, renounce Christ. She refused. Best decision she'd ever made. He went out to hear Andrew as he was preaching. And he was preaching against idolatry because those Gentiles were serving idols and not the Lord. The governor arrested Andrew. And he told him, "You stop preaching." He said, "I will not stop preaching." He said, "I'm going to crucify you." So he put him up on a cross, not like the one Jesus had, but one that was X-shaped, and put him down on the ground. They didn't drive nails into him, but they bound him up with cords there on that cross. And tradition says that for the 2 days he lived, he preached the entire time till he died. Bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus. Even in his death. I say to you, this man that was beaten and scourged and hung upon that cross named Andrew, he knew that the Lord was crucified. He knew the Lord had been buried. He knew the Lord was raised again. So do we. But are we an Andrew to go out and tell them about Jesus and bring them in? Have we prayed about our family? Oh yeah, preacher, I prayed 14 times in a row at the altar. What about today? Andrew would have preached a fresh message today about seeking them and bringing them and teaching them about Jesus. I think God looks amongst our congregation today and says, "I'll look for an Andrew in the crowd." I wonder if it'd be somebody here. You'd stand to your feet this morning. You might say, "You know, preacher, I ain't much. I'm not a spokesmodel or a spokesman. Preacher, I ain't much. But I know He called me and I know He saved me. And I got family members that's lost. I got brothers and sisters. I want to see them saved. Preacher, I'm concerned about the children in Awana and the welfare of the children and of our society in the United States and in Western North Carolina. I'm concerned. I want them to be taught about Jesus. I'm willing to drive a van. I'm willing to go get them and bring them to Jesus. Preacher, I think it'll make the difference. Oh, would you get them and bring them? There might be somebody here. You've got an associate that you work with. Someone you're concerned. I'm asking you, Andrew, would you bring them to Jesus today? You can bring them by faith because they're on your heart this morning. Our Father and our God, oh Lord, as we bow in your presence, Lord, we're sensitive to tell you, Lord, that we're not the disciple that we ought to be. We've not prayed like we should. We don't go out seek like we should. We not bringing them like we should. And we ought to be teaching them more than we are. God, I pray, Father, you'd forgive us today, Father, of our sins of omission. I pray, God, as we bow in your presence, that, Lord, you would save our family. We have some that are lost. God, I pray for those, God, Lord, they need to be saved. They need Jesus Christ. Help us, God, to be a witness that Jesus saved them. Lord, I pray for the children that attend this church. There's a new generation rising up that don't know Jesus Christ. It's our responsibility and our duty to teach them and train them about Jesus. Help us, God, to have a burden and bring them to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Lord, I pray, God, you'd bless us, Father, with folks we work with and come in contact with, that we would visit with them just for a little bit and tell them on the street, "Come, see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Christ?" God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be willing to play second fiddle, not to get recognized, but know that God is just and He will not forget the labor of our heart, and we will be rightly rewarded one day. It may not be in this life, but Lord, you'll not forget us, and I praise you for that promise today. Help us, Lord, I pray, as you seek for an Andrew, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen.